The prophet Amos said to a king, "I'm no prophet, neither am I a prophet's son, but I'm a herdsman and a grower of sycamore figs." So I'm not a grower of figs, but I am one of us, one of the litigators, one of the people who thought in this field. And like Bob Dinnerstein, I'm really aware of the difficulty in prophecy. But it turns out that Amos was one who believed in social justice, and he is responsible for the famous line by Martin Luther King in the I Have a Dream speech, saying, "No, no, we are not satisfied and will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." But predictions are pretty impossible to make. Ben Franklin could not have predicted when he was carried in a sedan chair to the Constitutional Convention that eventually there'd be segways, motorized vehicles, wheelchairs, etc. Stephen Hopkins was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. He had cerebral palsy, and he would not have known or been able to even think about the changes in care for people with cerebral palsy and their contributions to the world. Governor Morris, who helped draft the Constitution and became a senator from New York, eventually wore what they called a rough stick to replace the left leg that he lost in a carriage accident in 1790, and he would not have been able to predict or dream about prosthetics. There are other things that are hard to predict. In the 1800s, many states enacted the ugly laws. Some people here may know about them. One of these from Chicago said that no persons who's diseased, maimed, mutilated, or in any way deformed so as to be an unsightly or disgusting object or improper person to be allowed in or on the public ways or other public places in the city shall expose himself to public view. The penalties in the 1880s were $1 up to $50. Well, that sounds pretty strange and old, but these ugly laws were not repealed in many places until the 1970s. The last one in, I think it was Chicago, in 1974. So what I've tried to do is imagine more than one possible future. Some of my comments echo those or overlap with those of people who just presented. And I am not as optimistic as Bob Dinnerstein about the possibilities, but let me go through several possible futures that could help move things forward. One involves the Constitution. These conferences, we often forget about the Constitution in some ways, but I think it is possible when the Supreme Court changes, which it will, that there will be a constitutional prohibition of discrimination against people with disabilities. I wrote a law review article advocating this a few years ago. Justice Ginsburg referred to the Cleburne case and maybe using that in a different way just a couple years ago. And especially for people, maybe eventually only for people who are confined in institutions, I think there's an argument under the Constitution to prohibit the use of institutions, which is why Bob Dinnerstein attributed the end of institution statute to me, I think. The other Larry referred to, which would be finally for the U.S. adopting the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities, and maybe there's a way for President Obama and the Congress to do that during this period of time. But that UN Convention was trumpeted in the U.S. by the Obama administration, and then it seems forgotten. So on the constitutional issues, to explain a little bit more of my thinking, a lot of folks here know about the famous footnote 4 in U.S. versus Caroline Products in 1938, which said there ought to be a heightened scrutiny under the Constitution for particular minorities, whether prejudice against discrete and insular minorities may be a special condition, which may call for a correspondingly more searching judicial inquiry. Some people interpret that Cleburne case that was referred to earlier as being a little bit of a rational basis with bite, with some extra power. And I think that we need to think about whether or not we can put some more power into that kind of thinking. The Olmstead case, as people know, dealt with discrimination under the ADA and avoided, in one medium-length paragraph, avoided it all talking about what constitutional rights may be involved. So that's still an open question. Another future goes a little bit to Bob Dinnerstein's presentation, which is to deal with all these statutes that we now have. We have a plethora of statutes. I'll list them in a minute. And we have to think about how many we need. Now, Bob would add to them and maybe take away some. A few years ago when I advocated abolishing the ADA because of the inadequacies, Dr. Maurer highlighted some of those, Bob Dinnerstein stood up in the audience and condemned me for suggesting that. But right now I think we have to think about what we need and what they should look like. I think we have to agree there's too many right now. Figuring out which law applies in which circumstance to which people just shows how disorganized our conceptualization is of law and disabilities. The ADA, the Air Carrier Access Act, architectural statute, fair housing, the education statutes, Telecommunications Act, Urban Mass Transport Act, the Help America Vote Act, the Rehab Act, the Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, and it goes on and on and on, not to mention the regulations. So I think we have to think about, over the next 25 years, what we need and how to be sure that people have what they need, have the access they need, without 10, 20, 30 statutes. Universal design, a couple of folks mentioned that. And the universal design, as we know, are creating products, buildings, environments that are inherently accessible to everyone with or without disabilities. And the use of universal design, the mandate of universal design itself would solve a lot of the issues that we discuss here today. So the next kind of future, or aspect of the future, involves our culture. Larry mentioned disability pride, the disability culture. Are we talking about accommodation, inclusion, assimilation? What exactly is our goal? And I think we civil rights, disability rights advocates have maybe not paid enough attention to exactly what the aim is in a larger sense for what we do. Somebody wrote, while the political disability rights community, which is a lot of us, promoted policy changes to expand rights and opportunities, cultural workers told truths about living with disability and put forward visions of equality, embracing difference. And I think we should start thinking about exactly what we intend when we bring the litigation that we've been discussing here. So what are the futures? And I think there are futures because, you know, like the Robert Frost poem about roads not taken, we don't know at any moment when we take one path versus another exactly where we will be going, where we will end up. But I think we have to choose carefully and try to choose in accordance with our values. The Constitution, the UN Convention, the consolidation of statutes I mentioned, universal design, cultural questions, and the most important controller of the future will be what's unpredictable, what we can't really predict. But the ultimate function of prophecy is not to tell the future, but to make it. Because our successful past, and we have had a lot of successes, will block your visions of the future. So I think we need to not look to the past to think about how to proceed to the future, but really try to unlock the secrets of the future. And in line with Larry's comments, the little image that I project here is of what a curb cut looks like in terms of some regulations, because it is true, and I think about this every time I go through the Philadelphia airport, which purports to be accessible, but has poles and bars and weird sidewalk curb cuts that don't go anywhere. I think about the fact that that piece of access that, as was pointed out, we all now take for granted, is still not in force in so much of the country. And I was fortunate to be involved in a case that went up to the circuit court and then cert denied, called Frame versus City of Arlington, in which we managed to get the City of Arlington to agree, after cert was denied, to agree to redo the bad curb cuts they'd made, even while the ADA was in effect, and to expand those curb cuts, and to agree to put in a curb cut whenever anyone requests one. And the good part of the story, the positive part of the story, is that they've actually been implementing that court order without the need for any enforcement. So I wish to see you again here next year and the year after, and when Bob Dinnerstein's predictions come into effect, we'll see where we are. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.